kept out a school board meeting to order. Just want to remind everybody that this is being recorded as a public meeting. So if we do have any topics that we think we need to have an executive session, please identify that and we'll leave that to the end of the meeting. Also, if you are recommending or seconding any motions, please indicate your name because this is being recorded by audio. So you would need to record your name. Hi, Chalk, welcome. Meeting has just been called. You were sent documents prior to the meeting, so I'm not gonna go over all the objectives of the meeting, but the objectives are stated in documented on our agenda, and we will be adhering to those objectives. And anything else, we would open for discussion or executive session. So again, welcome. Thank you for joining us. You will also send documents on our consent agenda. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda, which includes the Department of Education State of Assurances for Programs under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965, as amended by the Every Student Succeeds Act. Also, we have in our packet under the consent agenda, licensed and classified personnel COVID-19 emergency leave policy. We also have the KIPP Delta Public School Year 2021 policy manual that we have to adopt annually. So that's in the packet under the consent agenda. We have committee meeting minutes also under the consent agenda, and the board meeting we had in October, those minutes. So I will entertain a motion to accept those as presented.
Madam Chair, this is George Cotton. I move acceptance of the consent agenda as submitted.
Thank you, George. Would entertain
a
second.
This is Tukola Brownie. I move to second.
Thank you, Tukola. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And we move on to our action agenda, which is our revised operating budget. As you know, we did pass approve an operating budget before, and I can't remember when we did that, Will. Was it in July?
It was in July, at our July 3rd.
Right. So now we have a revised, which at that time, the Raven and Will did say that they would bring back a revised operating budget. So that's what we're looking at today. Again, I hope you had some time to look at that budget. It is I think this is where the rubber meets the road going forward, and it sort of indicates the work that we have to do and the reason why we also hired the Mr. Hill as our executive director, because we have a lot of work to do, and the work is restructuring work, and that requires us as a board to really pull together, and again, it requires our executive director to present that restructuring. What does that look like? The strategy. We have asked for a 5-year strategic plan, and that is work that still has to be done. So, yeah, I say all this to say that when we look and delve into the budget, I think it is an eye-opener. It's nothing that should surprise us, but it's something, it brings reality when you see it on paper. So there's a lot of work to do, and please be open. Please ask a lot of questions. And I am going to turn it over this time. Is that to Raven or to you, Will?
It'll come to me, and then I'll pass to Raven.
Okay, so if you could take us through.
Sure. Yeah, we ought to take a picture of that building, see that back building.
Okay. If everyone would mute their phone while if you're not speaking, that would be great. Thank you very much. So just a couple of things before I pass to Raven. From a framing standpoint, what you'll notice in the budget is that we're being uber conservative. And so what you'll see is that our student enrollment number is holding at 1,258 students over the next 3 years. We've done that because pretty much it's universally understood by or projected by economists right now that our economy is slowing down and that we potentially could end up in a recession. And so with that being said, we did not want to assume that we were going to have a large influx of students over the next 3 years that was coming from a magical place. The other thing is we know that quality is directly impacting our enrollment. So while we're being conservative, we also feel confident at the same time that as we right the ship, so to speak, that there are other students in both locations that could potentially rejoin one of our schools. So as we go through, just please keep those things in mind. And if any questions emerge, please let me know. And then I'll pass to Raven now.
Thank you, Will. Can I share my screen?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, you should have permission now.
Can everybody see my screen?
Yes, we can see you, Raven.
Yeah.
All right. So before we dive into the budget, I wanted to give you all an overlook of how we ended FY20. So we ended FY20 with 52 days of cash. Keep in mind, if we didn't have the savings from using the PPP loan and have the same level of spending, we would have ended FY20 with 24 days of cash. So I wanted to point that out. Our cash carryover was $2.2 million, which enhanced our FY21 budget. The main change from that is the $609K of unrestricted funds that we received from the Allah Foundation. This will help us with the different projects that we have in FY21 that requires unrestricted funding. Then our federal funds didn't really change that much. $2.85 million will be added back to FY21 federal allocations, and $1.6 million of that is ESSER funds. Then the table below just breaks it out by revenue, cash, expenses, with the actual days of cash.
Hey, Raven, just before
you... Lisa, you went back on mute.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that it could just be me, but I couldn't recall that Olive Foundation money. Was that some type of surprise, or we didn't know we were getting that? I mean, it's a good surprise.
It was part of our donations, our fundraising goal.
Oh,
it was. Okay. It just, we didn't spend all of it in FY20 because we got the PPP loan savings. And so it'll really help us with FY21. And it's unrestricted, so that means we can use it for anything.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so our revised budget, I just want to point out that this is based on our K-12 ADM of 1258. So the difference from that, from the preliminary, is 37 more pupils. Than what we presented in a preliminary budget. Overall, our revenue increased roughly by 3%. A few highlights notated below for revenue. Our ESA decreased due to an inaccurate funding rate, which is more so of a just an entry error. So in the past years, we've received roughly 73% of the ESA funding rate of 1,576 instead of 100%. So that was adjusted to reflect the accurate percentage. Decline in enrollment was removed because our funding changed from current year to prior year. So we won't receive decline in enrollment funding anymore. It'll be called student growth funding. And right now the state is only projecting us to get 1,421, so it's very small in student growth. So if we do grow, we do have the opportunity to get that additional funding. Foundation funding increased by $261,000, and then our Title I allocation increased by $283,000. For our expenses, staffing decreased significantly. We went in and we looked at overtime assumptions and made those revisions based off of prior years. We eliminated the chief of staff position and moved the head of schools to FY22. So that was the biggest decrease. Our maintenance decreased after removing capital projects that will be funded using capital reserve. So you'll see that shortly, that we have a separate budget that's strictly for our capital projects, because it will not impact our operating budget. Textbooks and core increased by roughly $181,000 due to the need of virtual learning, and we will use ESSER funds for that increase. And then our reserve increased, which is the total debt service and assets line. Reserve is in that number. We set aside $163,000 for the mental health grant that we received. It has to be expended by the end of this year, so I wanted to put that in there, even though we haven't at this time determined how we're going to use those funds. I didn't want to show that we could actually carry that over.
Yeah, Raven, can I ask a question real quick? You said that in the first line, you said staffing decreased. We eliminated the chief of staff and moved the head of schools. So that means next year we'll see the head of schools cost included in the budget, but because I'm assuming Will is going to save that position for next year.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when we look at the projections for FY22, the head of schools is included in that number.
Okay. Thanks.
Good question. Any more questions related to this slide? Okay. So this is an overview similar to what we presented in the preliminary budget. Just wanted to show with the updated numbers. As you can see, the highest increase is the total student services. And that's because we have, you know, those excess restricted carryover funds that we need to spend down. Our total operating professional services decreased because we moved those capital projects to a capital budget. And then of course, the total debt service and assets for FY21, it also includes the reserve. So that has a lot to do with that as well. This slide is just a summary looking at revenue, expenses, and net income. So to explain these ADM numbers at the top, because it can be a little confusing. So the approved preliminary budget in July was based off of a preliminary ADM number for FY20, which was 1221. But our final number for FY20 was 1258. So that's why you see 1258 as the final ADM for FY20. And then, of course, we use that 1258 for our revised FY21 budget. So we went from having zero, breaking even on the preliminary, to having $970,000 in net income.
Will, what is the current, is that 1258 still current for us?
We're 1,260 students as of today.
Then this slide just breaks it out by our cash flow. So as you can see, we have 6 more days of cash added from the preliminary budget. As of now, we have roughly 11 vacancies, which equals about $554,000. For FY21. Any questions about the FY21 revised operating budget?
I don't have any questions about the budget per se, but I did just want, and maybe I'm getting ahead, so my apologies if I am. At the bottom, it says that we don't need, I'm interpreting this to mean we don't have to make any cuts. Everything is flat, and we've done all the cutting we need to sustain that. So does that mean that you've already taken a look, we don't need to do any cuts, you don't anticipate having to come back and say,
what it looks like we are going to have to eliminate, because according to this, we're all right for the year, right?
Yes, great question, George. So yes, for this operating year, we are fine.
Okay, so 43. So we got 40 days of cash. Okay, all right. I got another question later, but I'll wait to hear from you before I even bother to ask it to kind of mess things up. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So next is the capital budget. This is something new. We haven't really, from when I've been here, just 2 years, we haven't really done a lot of capital projects where we needed a separate budget, but I wanted to pull it out because we have capital reserve funds that's strictly for capital projects. So the operating budget that you all just looked at is strictly our non-capital funding, and we have separate funding that's strictly for a capital project. So I wanted to separate it because it's hidden two different buckets, I guess you should say. Like I said, we have projected that I'll show you in a minute. It does not include any of the existing USDA project that we have for ELA, except the 10K that's required to set aside by KIPP. The remainder funds would be reimbursed from USDA. So the project that we have right now for ELA's playground, we're using the remainder loan money we got from USDA a while back. So that won't really impact us as much, but we did have to set aside 10K. So this is the capital budget. As you can see, we don't have any revenue, and it's just because we have this capital reserve, the $601,000 down here, that we've been carrying over year to year. So as we do these capital projects, it'll reduce from this balance. So as of now, we have $174,000 of capital projects that we're gonna start working on in FY21. And then we're planning on doing a few more throughout the years, but these are the ones that we do have like good cost estimates as far as how much it'll cost for us to complete these projects. Any questions about the capital budget?
Okay. No, I think that was a good idea to separate it. I think it just gives more transparency. And we do have things that we need to get, you know, fixed, as we could see, and upgraded. So I think that was good on you guys' part to recognize that.
Thank you, Luke.
All right, so now the financial projections for FY22 to FY24. So as Will mentioned, the ADM, we're not projecting an increase just due to the uncertainty of the pandemic's impact. So each year is based off an ADM of 1258. So this slide is just looking at the revenue. I do want to point out, thanks to the Finance Committee for bringing this up, the federal is higher for FY21 because we have that excessive carryover from FY20. So these numbers here is strictly what we could essentially get allocated for FY22 and so on, without considering, you know, excess amount of carryover, because we do need to spend all of that down before FY22. For the expense projections, salary and benefits is based off of the FY21 staffing structure. And I did add the FY22, the head of schools position to FY22. And it assumes that all positions are filled and work a full year. And then a 2% was added to account for an annual salary and benefit increase. We'll just mention again that the executive team will jump in and discuss the restructure of staffing so that we can be sustainable for the future. For programs and departments, the expenses did decrease from FY21 because this year is kind of different because we had all of that excess funds that we need to spend down. So essentially by FY22, we should be back to our normal spending habits. So you won't see the expenses being as much as FY21. And then of course, child nutrition, transportation, and KTC are budgeted based off of their revenue allocation. So they would only spend the amount that they receive. So it'll always break even for those departments. For debt service, it remains $1.02 million for FY22 to FY24. This increased due to the Charter School Growth Fund deferred payment for this year. So starting FY22, we have to start back paying that $100,000 until it's paid in full. Then for the reserve and rainy day, we have the $228,000 reserve. That's the ESA match grant that's set aside for pre-K. And then the $364,000 in rainy day expense that we put in there until the PPP loan is forgiven. So this slide shows from FY21 to FY24, the revenue expenses and net income. This is no ADM growth, so 1258 straight across, and including the repayment of the PPP loan. As you can see, yes, we're okay for FY21, but we really need to make some decisions for the future years. And our financial goal is to at least break even for each year.
That's on PPP repayments. How much are we talking about here? Is it the 360 something thousand?
Mm-hmm. 364,000, and that's based off of if, a 5-year repayment plan.
Okay.
Then this is the cash flow projections, how cash is impacted. So our goal is to reach 40 days of cash or better. So as you can see for FY22, we had a net loss and our cash is 30 days, which is not our goal. But after that, it starts to get worse. So this is, of course, these are current assumptions and they will change, but this is just giving us a glimpse of what the future could look like. And so we can start planning and making those decisions so that we can be okay for the future years.
And again, real quick, Raven, this is, all these years are based on that 1258 assumption every year, correct?
Correct.
So that's no growth, sitting constant. Wow. Okay.
No growth, no staffing changes, and the non-personnel expenses decrease, but it trying to shift it back to our normal spending. And then everything else is pretty much the same.
Wow. Okay.
Do you want to add anything?
So thank you, Raven. The only thing I'll add is that we plan to, again, pursue additional students to make sure that we're running our recruitment campaigns while all of this is taking place. In addition to, as Raven named, that we will have to restructure in the spring for the upcoming year and create some efficiencies, as you can see. You know, just based on the numbers, we're too heavy for the size of our organization. We have about 225 staff members. We only have 1,258 students. And so that's about 35 to 40 staff members over where we should be. So that'll create some efficiencies, but also we have to look at combining some job assignments, potentially permanently reducing the executive team, those sorts of things. So we'll dig into that a little bit more in the spring. As we continue to do the strategic planning work, but just wanted to give you a preview and make sure that you had the why for the next pieces of work that are going to come before you.
So what's next? Of course, we're seeking board's approval for the revised operating budget and capital budget for FY21. We'll continue to manage the FY21 budget and spending to ensure that we spend all of those restricted funds down timely. Then we'll discuss and develop a restructured staffing model and introduce the zero-based budgeting that should help with improving KIPP's financial stability. Any questions? That is all I have for today.
I think I had one question on those 11 vacancies we mentioned. Is it assumed that those vacancies are filled in the budget presented? Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Raven, if as we move forward, I don't know how helpful this may be, but do we know what those break-even numbers are on where we need to be in FY 22, 23, 24? So we have some sort of target.
So it would be, if we're looking at net income, then it would be, of course, these negatives that we would need to reduce spending somehow. And if we're looking at cash, as far as days of cash on hand, it will be these numbers at the bottom of what kind of cuts need to be made in order to reach 40 days of cash.
Sure, sure. And I guess I'm leaning more towards what does it look like from a recruiting standpoint, because you could have a combination of additional students with some cuts. Just trying to get a variance, because it is going to be a moving target, but could we project possibly increasing our enrollment, or is it too soon to look into that? And I want to be careful doing that too, trust me, but I think that we can squeeze it a little bit, you know, if we're able to increase recruitment, decrease spending, we can kind of close that gap.
So
Vince, you're absolutely right. The reason that that assumption, believe it or not, is somewhat baked in. What we know about Helena is Helena's population is decreasing, and it's projected to continue to decrease for the next 7 to 10 years. So even if we were to get more students in Helena, the fact that the overall population of that community is projected to continually decrease, that means even if we add numbers in Blytheville, we have to add them at a rate that would essentially overcompensate for the potential loss in Helena. So again, that's why we're being a little conservative and holding to that 1258 number because of so much uncertainty. But I like your thinking, and we're thinking a lot alike in terms of continuing the recruitment effort as well as creating efficiency simultaneously.
Let me ask this question also. Have you put pencil to it as to how many students we would need to add?
So if it was just purely recruitment with all things remaining the same, I would say roughly, right. I would say roughly next year about 70 students. And then it gets really interesting in 23 and 24.
Okay, now when you say 70 students, is that like 35 and 35 from each campus? I mean, but this is a combination of the two campuses, the 70 students, right?
Yes, that's a combination of all five schools. So we're just talking purely district budget.
Okay, thank you.
And help me remember here, and my apologies for forgetting. Each student gets us what? I mean, you know, as each student comes in, Raven, how much revenue is that worth? You know, if we got additional 10 students, I mean, does that get us to that? That doesn't get us to $500,000. What does that get us? 80, 90,000? What does that get us, 10 students?
So per pupil for this year is roughly 7,000, like I'm throwing that out there.
Okay.
As far as our charter funding, foundation funding. Mm-hmm. And that rate increases slightly each year, but we will really need a good amount of students, like Will said, like 70 additional students to really help us.
Okay.
Any more questions or anything else to add?
Will, do you have anything? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead, Lisa.
I was saying, do you have anything else to add before we take this to a vote to accept the revised financial budget as presented?
Not at this time. Just to know that we, for board members, we really appreciate your support and are going to be leaning on you for additional philanthropy in the future, as well as thinking creatively about, you know, how to serve as brand ambassadors in our local context and communities as we roll out a full-fledged recruitment effort moving forward. So thank you all.
I think in the November board meeting, we will get more deep dives into this and start thinking about strategy, because we have some big holes to fill going forward. I appreciate the work that you guys are doing, giving us the transparency of where we are and how it looks in the future, so we know the kind of work that we need to do going forward. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to accept the revised financial budget as presented.
So moved.
And who was that?
It's Darren.
Thank you, Darren. Do I have a second?
This is George. George Cotton, now second.
Thank you, George. Second. Any discussion?
Second, Charles Mitchell.
Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Is there anything that we need to go into executive session for?
I don't have a question or anything, and I think you kind of hit on what I was thinking in the back of my mind. I said earlier I'd save it. You mentioned that in November we'll kind of have a deeper dive. I will just say to Will and to Raven and the team, thanks for, you know, laying this out so we can see it. I don't have to tell you, you guys got your, well, I'll take that back. We've got our hands full, because if you take a look at year 2 and 3, it really gets scary. You know, if I'm understanding what you presented, you're talking a $2 million deficit, which means we've got a lot of work to do. And I guess one of the things from my standpoint, and I think Vince may have asked this, especially being on the fundraising team, I think it'll be helpful for us to know, Raven, and maybe this is Will too, we see the numbers of $500,000, you know, graduating up to $2 million. Is the $2 million objective what we need to be focusing on raising? You know, does $500,000 next year get it? You know, does $1.2 million next year and then 2.4? Does that get it? Or, as Vince was alluding, or is that just a break-even point? Because one of the things I've said to as my role on the fundraising team is to try to help raise the money we need. So I guess I'm pushing you, Mr. ED, to tell us, to make that tough call to know what that number is, because if the number is 590,000 this year and we raise the 590, that, you know, that's what we're going to raise. And yeah, we can cut our way out of the hole, but you can only cut so much. So I guess I'm pushing you to make sure that you're telling us exactly what that number is going to be, because for me, this is kind of a sobering budget here. There's not another way to put it. I mean, this is kind of a tough budget.
Yeah. Thank you, George. You will absolutely have that number, but sooner rather than later.
Okay.
And remember, George, that 500 and something is above the 1.525 that we have for, you know, for this year. So it's additional,
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Wow.
So okay. If anybody knows of anybody who just wants to be a godfather to Kip Delta and is getting ready to, you know, share the wealth.
Now's the time.
Now is a good time. Anything else from anybody? Any questions? As George said, it is a sobering budget, but I prefer us to have that transparency than to live in hope. And I prefer to be super conservative. And hopefully, as we go year to year, that as we get back the quality and we supersede the quality that we've had in the past, that it will truly be, you know, build it and they will come. Because, you know, we would then be able to attract those new students. So. Okay, if there's nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you for your time. You guys, please be safe, and we will talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Good to see you all.